Welcome back to a bonus episode of Too Many Trailers. This is an extension of our Black History Month episodes where we'll be talking about primarily films filled with people of color, crew, all that fun stuff.
Crew, a cast, however it happened.
And we're going to be discussing kind of our trailer slash film reaction to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I'm Kelsey.
I'm Marianne.
And yeah, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm quite well.
Wonderful. So if you guys have listened along for a while, we covered the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse trailer back in November, I want to say.
Sure.
It was quite a while ago.
I just know we did it with Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Yeah, I think we posted that episode up in November.
It's called Episode 17, Spider-Man.
Oh, right.
Yes.
I don't know how we came upon that title, but it happened.
Because I edited that episode.
Wonderful. So this is like an extension because Kelsey and I, a few weeks back, saw the film together all the way through and...
Finally.
I know, finally is right. Like, we were like...
If we
you
gotta
listen see it. To our actual episode on this trailer, we were like, oh, we have to see it in theaters, like, the day it comes out, and here we are. But we saw it, and that's the important part.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
Right. So
was it at 9:40 at night? Absolutely.
Did I need a lot of caffeine to stay awake?
Maybe.
But did I stay awake through the entire film?
Yes. You didn't crash the car going home. That's all that matters.
Kelsey was very concerned, but I did a great job.
You did.
Also, we were very committed. We drove like,
it was like 15
half an hour away to go see this.
Guys, we put miles on Marianne's car for this.
Sure did. We had the only time available was 9:40 on a Friday.
In like a city that's literally like 30 minutes away.
We drove half an hour to get there. Commitment.
I mean, we didn't cross state borders, but...
No. But we have for other films. All right, so Kelsey and I want to talk about a little bit about how the actual film compared to what we thought about in the trailer, any big reactions we had during the film, and also like our theater experience of seeing the film.
Yes. Just fair use pro warning. I don't know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
PSA. I cried four times during this movie.
Oh my goodness. I definitely cried at least twice.
This movie put me into a mess in a good way though.
Yeah, Kelsey and I had a really long, like, in-depth, like, half asleep conversation on the ride home, but it was like
for a solid, like, from movie theater to my apartment, like,
yes,
when she dropped me off, it was
like
insane.
Kelsey was literally like running out the door and I was still like yelling at her. I was like, bah, 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 bah. She was like, I'm out of your vehicle.
It's like, I cannot do this right now. Save your thoughts for the podcast.
And here we are.
And here we are. Okay. So, but also, this, if you're listening to this, I mean, you are listening to this after the Oscars, so I don't know if you do some weird space-time continuum magic, like Doctor Strange. Stop laughing at me. This won the Oscar for Best Animated Film, as it should.
Yeah, absolutely. Deserved.
Yes,
like
absolutely.
Which is what we thought before we even saw the film, but then after we saw the film, Kelsey and I kind of looked at each other and we were like, so the Oscar winner.
Yeah, so it's gonna win for the Oscar. As we know. And so congratulations to I think it was like Phil Lord and
Rodney Rothman.
Yes.
They were the writers.
They accepted the award, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, for so Phil Lord, as for Marianne's information detective skills, was the producer, as well as the one, the only Stan Lee, who was graciously, he had a great role in
He
Spider-Man.
Did!
It was,
so
good.
Yeah, I was honestly, like, as the movie started, I was really wondering. I was like, okay, how are we gonna fit Stan Lee into this?
Yeah.
And I was so excited when I saw him.
I think it was so great because it was like so like the suit, like his phrase was like, oh, the suit will always fit.
Yeah.
Which was such a great notion in terms of what the film actually like was about and everything.
Right. And it was like so important that it came from him.
Him, exactly, because he like he created Spider-Man.
If you read or listen to other things that he's talked about, he does talk about that concept of, like, anybody could be Spider-Man.
Right, exactly. Or anyone could be any superhero, essentially. Right. Like, anyone could take up the helm. That was very important to him. And especially because it evolved as society evolved, and he was so good
for that. I have goosebumps all over my body.
Oh, I love you, Sammy. But it was also really funny because of the fact that when they turned, like, panned the camera slightly, it was, like, no refunds.
I know, that was so funny.
And so he was like, it's gonna fucking fit.
It's gonna fit you, and if it doesn't, too bad.
Exactly. So I thought that was a really great little homage. But granted, I think his last... he's not gonna be featured. I know one of his cameos is not gonna be in Dark Phoenix. The film previous to that was... I think it's Spider-Man Far From Home, I think is his last...
Yeah,
I think his last cameo as far as reports go. So, let's take a step-by-step of, like, kind of, you know, before the movie, seeing the movie, our thoughts on the movie, and then we'll go from there. So, we had a little different theater experience. We didn't go to our usual theater that we generally go, which is very big for us.
Yeah, it was a lot. Can we skip right to the fact that our theater experience included somebody leaving the movie?
Like, halfway through it?
And Kelsey and I were both like, he, like, got up, and I was like, okay, maybe he needs a snack. Or something,
I don't
know whatever.
He was like
and
waiting
then I
for
like
someone else or...
looked back again and I like elbowed Kelsey and I was like, he actually left this film.
I like have a theory about this.
It's a fan theory.
I honestly think he probably came in at the previous showing or something and like got like only got to half of it, like only came in like halfway through by accident, and then he watched like, because he like left like halfway through the film, like literally
he
like
left at like a very important point,
right?
Like, I feel like something big had just happened,
like,
and then
he got
he
a
left.
Text, like, his, like, wife, like, starting to birth his baby. Like, I don't know. It was like that.
He didn't run out.
That's true. He was just
he,
like, okay.
Very nonchalantly just got up, and we were like, I was like, who leaves a Marvel movie
just,
in the middle?
Not a Marvel fan.
nobody.
I just think, like, he either, like, already saw, like, half the film, like, maybe the back end, and then, like, just was like, oh, I might as well just, like, see the first end. But that would,
but,
like,
wouldn't
make
you
no want sense.
To see the whole thing again to
I know,
realize
if you really
it
liked
connected?
It. I don't know.
Whatever.
It was weird. Dude had, like, 3 ices and a huge bag of popcorn.
He did have multiple ices. I'm so glad you brought that up.
I was so, like, I was just like, are you... Oh, okay, you know,
I know,
judgment.
I was like, that's awesome. I wish I had, like, the self-confidence to buy 3 ices.
Be like, I'm good for myself.
For myself, yes.
And it's not like he had, like, 2 other kids with him. It was just, it was very strange.
It's
fine. It was very strange. So we got the tickets online through Fandango. And I didn't know that it was going to be more, like, The video.
That the film would be very, like, very flashing lights and, like, loud musical things and, like, loud sound breaks and things like that. And, like, a lot of, like, it's, like, a very chaotic screen.
Heavy sensory.
Yes, yeah. Very, like, if
high
you
sensory.
Are... Yeah, it was, it was a little difficult at some points, I feel like, for me to watch. I was like, whoa, I'm feeling very overwhelmed and very overstimulated, which I felt like in some points was good because it was really representing, like, what Miles was feeling.
Right, exactly. Like, there was...
Because he was so... And, like, they talk about this in... They talk about it in every Spider-Man origin story about how, like, overwhelmed they are and they, like, don't need their glasses anymore, which Miles doesn't actually have glasses, but, like... You know, things like that, and they're like, oh, and, like, everything looks so close up, and, like, how overwhelming
sound is. It was, like, highly attuned
things.
Because, you know, spiders...
Yeah, senses
are... whole weird...
It heightens their
senses. Exactly.
So, some of that's expected, but it was very...
Like, it was from the start, like, when they did, like, Paramount and everything, and
start
they,
to finish, yeah, because they had the, like,
the Paramount,
kind of a glitchy screen effect,
right.
Which, like,
runs with the theme
went with the
and
plot
everything.
And everything like that, but it was still... It was very... difficult. Like, I closed my eyes a lot of times to kind of close my eyes and, like, give myself a break and then kind of return to watching. Or if I like, knew that a big glitchy part was coming or something, I'd close my eyes and just listen because I was like, this is really overwhelming.
Right. I mean, I know that... So we got our tickets through Fandango, like, online, and there was... I don't know if I just missed the notice. I mean, I don't know if...
If there was no notice.
Right, exactly. I don't know what's going on, but apparently through... If you got your tickets at the ticket booth, at least at, like, the theater we were at...
Not specifically at ours, necessarily.
Oh, okay.
But we have other people that we've talked to that have said that at their theater ticket offices, there was a sign up saying, like, a warning, like, if you have epilepsy or any other seizure disorder, or, like, are
attuned to this,
like, have, like, yeah, sensory, like, any kind of sensory disorder, this film will have a lot of loud sound,
yeah,
like, interrupting sounds, and has, like, a lot of, like, flashing lights and things like that, so to not see it, especially in theaters, if
right,
you are prone to have seizures or be very overstimulated.
Kind of important.
Things like that. Which was great that other theaters had it. So Kelsey and I were a little, like, we wish that
we knew this beforehand, like, either yeah, we just read an article, or it was kind of just a little bit more publicized, or at least right, a little bit more of right, the know that there was going to be this thing. I mean, there's a slight understanding before,
yeah,
like, yes, we kind of knew that it was going to be dealing with this sort of thing, just because of the notion of parallel universes, you know, sometimes right, it'd be like, okay, so there's going to be some sort of flashing light.
It's yeah, and it's animated, like, an animated film. But yeah, we just, and there could have been signage at our ticket office, but because we bought them through Fantego, we didn't need to go to the ticket office.
Right.
So we just wish there was bigger signage, like, somewhere that everywhere would, right, everyone would see, like, no matter how
just
you purchased your tickets.
Like, or just, like, or at least at the ticket, like, when you hand when the you ticket, hand, like, there should have been, like,
a sign,
like,
or
at least
like
on
that,
like, the
or, like, they could have
whatever,
put it on, like, the theater doors for
right,
the actual, like,
just
screening
like,
room.
FYI, like,
yeah,
this is, like, what everyone sees. But that's
yes,
kind of, like, my only, like, hey, we probably should have done this. I mean, obviously,
yeah,
we can't attest for anything else. This is just our personal experience.
Right. Every other theater could have done it, like, a really wonderful job with signage
right,
and, like, these kinds of announcements, but
it happens.
It might not have happened at every theater.
Right. I loved that the theme was carried through from start to end. We, like, discussed it briefly. The whole, like, glitch in the matrix type
yeah,
thing is a huge, like, online type of quote-unquote conspiracy
right,
and how that was, and I really like that notion that of parallel universes in
yeah,
science, and I'm really happy that they managed to connect, and it's also a big thing in comics, you know,
right,
like,
yes,
you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, MCU, is, like, Earth 616,
right,
that is the parallel universe that, you know, we've come to love. But in other comics, there are other parallel universes.
Right.
And, like, the way they transferred that over into film was excellent,
yeah,
I thought. The way they, like, kind of made it, like, especially when they were describing, like, everyone's, like, origin story.
They did a really good job because
right,
they would, like, show the front of their comic books and
right,
be like, let me tell you my origin story in, like, 30 seconds or less, pretty
yeah,
much. And I thought that they did a really good job. And it was, like, great because you had some, like, some versions of Spider-Man that you kind of, like, knew,
right,
like Spider
Spider-Gwen,
yeah, Spider-Gwen,
like,
that you kind of know,
right,
or like people have, like,
Peter
kind
Parker,
of heard of, or
you know,
Peter Parker,
exactly,
Spider-Pig, but then ones you didn't know,
like Spider-Noir, or the
yeah,
the Spider-Girl that was
with
the anime,
yeah,
right,
which was so cool.
Oh, I loved her. She was so
she
cool.
Was
so hysterical.
I really loved her.
But what I also liked was the, of, like, that notion was that it wasn't, like, no one was like, oh, that's stupid. That's a stupid origin story. Everyone was like, okay, this is, like, they're gonna take it, like, matter-of-factly.
Yeah, like, even when Peter Parker came on, like,
everyone was like, the
they,
fuck,
like, treated it like a legit origin
right,
story.
They were just like, it's,
he was
this
like,
is
here
weird.
I was being a pig, and then suddenly got fucking bit by a spider.
John Mulaney.
I know. It was
so,
so good.
I just washed my hands. They're like, what? Oh my gosh. But attuning to different universes come different styles.
Yes.
Of animation. I put this into my trailer notes, that there are, the stylistic choices are so friggin' good.
Yes.
Because in Miles' universe, it's more comics-based, where
yeah,
we have, like, the thought boxes, the thought bubbles, you know, during his, like, speech, like, his notions of when he's talking to himself. You saw it ever
yeah,
so slightly with, like, the dotted rendering
yes, yep,
in, like,
yep,
the background or something. The way he moved was very comic-like. It was, honestly, I thought it was great. And then, but everyone had their own style, which made it so everyone was of themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I thought the artistic styling, you know.
Yeah, and
was
like
very
the
good,
like, just every different, like, spider Spider hero. I like it. Spider hero. I had, like, their different style of animation that reflected more on their comics and, like, right. things like that. And they mm-hmm. did, like, do a really good job of... And bringing in their, like, some of their own villains right. also. So, like, when they were fighting their villains, it was, like, ones that they were familiar with from right. their own comic universe.
Like, Spider-Noir had their own right. stylistic choice. Yep. As well as their own stylistic villains. Villain.
And, like, they were villains that he fights in his comics. Like, right. They were all familiar with their own villains they were fighting, which right. was really cool.
And I thought that was great.
Yeah, it's great to, like, bring that in, and I'm sure that people that are huge Spider-Man fans that have read all of those different kinds of mm-hmm. comics were probably,
like, they're probably, like, so freaking the fuck happy. Out. There was so many Spider-Man references. I was, like, online and everything, and mm-hmm. so when Peter Parker's, like, coming down, like, Jake Johnson's Peter Parker, like, not okay. the blonde, not Steve Rogers' Peter Parker.
Oh my goodness, yes, originals. Spider-Man in Miles's universe literally was Steve Rogers. Kelsey and I looked at each other and we were like, does he kind of look like Steve?
He had blonde hair, blue eyes, and had the moralistic backbone of yes, a fucking wooden board. It was insane.
The moral compass of a goddamn Captain America.
Pretty much.
But yeah, he just looked so much like him, and we were both this is honestly very distracting.
I could not enjoy the moment where Peter Parker dies, but, like, the moment where Peter Parker dies, like, in Miles' universe, I was like, that just looks so much like Steve Rogers. I cannot get it out of my head, and it kind of took me out of the moment.
It did for me, too. I was like, is this gonna, what is happening?
Like, is Steve Rogers now taking the helm?
I was like, did they mean to do this?
I don't know.
Is this important to the plot that he looks like Steve Rogers?
I need to know.
Right.
For certain purposes. But so when Peter Parker, Jake Johnson, was like, I'm cool, I'm Peter Parker, because I have these powers, I'm cool. So that dancing style that he did was mm-hmm. rendered just like Spider-Man 3 when Tobey Maguire was, like, with Venom.
Oh, yeah.
So that was literally his dancing styles. It was taken from that when Miles Morales was going out of his house on the TV screen with Donald Glover in a Spider-Man shirt mm-hmm. from the first episode of Community. Mm-hmm. It was, there was so many little references yeah. to outside, like, popular culture of Spider-Man yeah. that was brought in. Knowing that after, I think, made the film more memorable, even though it's, like, after the fact. You know what right. I mean? It's like, I can attune to these facts, like, these little eggs now.
Easter eggs.
Easter eggs, thank you.
Yeah, and, like, you appreciate those
kinds a lot of things more, because it's, like, a little bit more thought went into
yeah,
creating this, like, big universe, not the little right. universes in it.
Right.
Like this umbrella universe.
Right. They put a lot of detail and work into, like, each individual right. like spider hero mm-hmm. and then into this giant multiverse that they created for this movie.
Right. That, like, saying, like, okay, well, this takes place here, this is attuned from yep. here, and, like, I think
this
it
is
also
how it all fits.
Right. And it also kind of plays off the fact that there are, like, 500 fucking Spider-Man movies.
Yes.
You know,
it was,
like,
funny.
It was great.
I enjoyed
it a lot.
So I really enjoyed in this universe that he had two parents.
Oh.
Still.
Yes.
And it was interesting because so he has these two great and supportive parents. His father is black and he's a cop, and his mother is Latina and she's a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
They send Miles to a more elite middle school. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a...
Like the Brooklyn it's like Academy a
boarding,
or something.
Yeah, it's a yeah. boarding school, so he's yeah. there through the week and then goes home on the weekends. And Miles is just really not enjoying it. And you see him walk past his old school to get mm-hmm. to his new school. And, like, he knows everybody there. And it's just, like, it's a very good understanding representation of, like, going into a new, bigger school.
But also what New York is. You know, I thought that mm-hmm. this felt like New York. Like, there is times, like, in Spider-Man Homecoming where it also, like, I kind of felt the same thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's a little different. But when Miles is walking past his class, you know, and he's speaking Spanish, he's speaking this language, he's saying, like, what up, man? Like, he's doing all these, like, colloquialisms you actually hear yeah. in New York. and you hear the sounds of New York. You hear right the, you the see background. The people, the different types of people that are walking around. It kind of
you hear like the street noise and stuff, right, and it exactly. was really well done.
And you know the same thing with Spider-Man. You know, Homecoming. You know, Peter Parker goes into a bodega. You know,
yeah.
He goes. He's like, oh hey, like what's up, man? There's like a bodega cat, like just right. like chilling and everything, and the health code doesn't matter. And he gets a sandwich. It's the same. It's the same thing. You know, Peter right. Parker speaks Spanish. I mean, he's white. It's a little different, but it. The notion of this feels real.
Right.
Really, like this kind of grounds like the notion of makes it so that this is really like a story.
Yeah.
I'm really into world building in yeah, terms of when we're trying to do something that's a little bit heightened.
Yeah.
I'm really into like trying to make it so we know where we are, the spatial, the time in the Orient. Like we're making sure that those like three are really like locked in. Yeah. I feel it's so important.
Yeah. And it was like really great that like that's how they kind of like opened the film, and mm-hmm. it was like you were immediately like dropped into exactly like how he felt emotionally and stuff like that, and it was really well done. So then he starts going to this new school, which he doesn't really like. He doesn't like the new people. He's got like a ton of work. It's like that very big difference in like going to a more elite school, and that is a big thing like in New York also, like going to charter schools or more elite or private schools and things like that, and the people that get in on scholarships,
that's a big thing,
is yeah. a big thing, and like the treatment of those
people versus the people that can afford it
you know, and things like that. So
there's a weird elitism that comes
with it.
There's
a lot of elitism yeah. in education. But I'm Marianne is not going to go on a rant about that because that would be 4 hours.
Yeah.
But it was just interesting to see. And then so you learn more about Miles, and he has a really close relationship with his uncle Aaron.
I have some good thoughts to talk about that yeah. in terms of the Spider-Verse.
Mm-hmm. And that was... And he, so Miles loves to do, like, street art and graffiti.
Mm-hmm. Did you see my note when I wrote it
down? Oh, no, I didn't, actually.
I just wrote it down. I was like, I need to talk about the graffiti and how much it plays into, like, really well done. You know?
Yeah, so well done. So, like, you have an opening scene on, like, him, like, drawing some, like, on a piece of paper. And then, like, his uncle takes him, like, when he's having, like, you know, hard day at school. Like, he goes to his uncle and he's like, let's go find, and his uncle brings him to this, like, really large... empty spot.
Right. It's like an abandoned
area of the subway.
Yeah, where it like used to probably be a like a
oh they said what it used to be, but I can't remember.
I can't what's it called? A platform? It's like yeah, an empty or platform. Like, or yeah. like some like a building that went into a platform, whatever.
Yeah. So he gives him this expanse and he like spends his whole night like doing this right. great piece of like giant
beautiful
art.
Like
wonderful.
Beautiful art, yeah. And so he's doing this piece, but what I liked about him doing this graffiti is that they really didn't treat it as he was doing something wrong, which right. a lot of like people of color in film are, you know, doing graffiti as though they're like, oh, he's expressing himself. They're still saying he's doing something, he's vandalizing, he's still doing something wrong.
Right.
This was more saying like, this was... something that he should be like proud of.
Yes, and it's expression, it's art, it's that, and they weren't. I like that you just brought up that point. That it's not like
it's not a bad thing that yeah. he was doing. He was creating art. He was right. expressing himself.
Right. And he writes out expectations.
Oh,
and then like
great expectations. Wasn't it great?
Just expectations.
Okay. Because he was reading that book in English class.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Right. So he just writes out. Like expectations and has like a silhouette of himself like in the artwork.
Right.
It was really great.
It's more than what he's expected to do.
Right.
And I think that was a very beautiful idea that it started, I think it was like kind of the start of how we should allow more, because we always, you know, as much as I say like, you know, push STEM.
We need to push art,
but also for people of color.
Yeah,
you know, there should be a balance because there. I yep. mean, there's only so many you know people of color that go into STEM, but there's mm-hmm. only so many of people of color that go into art mm-hmm. and you know, quote unquote liberal arts as well. You know, because there is such a lack in both areas. You know, especially for quote unquote academia,
mm-hmm.
when we think of academia as a white elite thing. It should be more than that.
I'm literally like biting my lip to hold it all back. I'm like, Marianne, now is not the time.
That was the mini back. Rant. That was the mini one.
That was great.
So thank you.
That was great. I'm so glad you covered that. So
we need. I think it's really important, especially for the story. You know.
Yes.
So when was the first time I cried was when they showed when his dad was like, say I love you or something, you know, back, because it was like, you don't hear that in film.
I know, and like,
color.
So you don't see it like in terms of like masculine or superhero people either, it's like, you know, that
it's always this.
It's fragile masculinity.
I think
that men aren't supposed to say I love you, and like, especially
this,
like,
this whole film tackled toxic masculinity so well.
Yeah,
especially like, with the uncle and everything. Okay, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we're not going to do a whole play-by-play of the whole movie because that would
pretty much are at this point.
But we should...
should kind of, like, speed through. The point of the uncle, I really liked in terms of the overarching idea of Spider-Man, how he loses his uncle and how that's how he can become greater. And how he didn't lose a father figure, quote-unquote, in his life, like, other than, you know, his father.
Right.
In the Tobey Maguire versions I'm kind of referring to. Because Spider-Man's always depicted without a dad.
Right.
I think most superhero comics are. They're kind of going off that weird archetype of, I'm
like,
better without a parent.
Like,
or I become
most,
a more realistic character because of a dead parent, which is weird.
Right.
How he had still kind of followed the Spider-Man vision. It's like his uncle still died. His uncle still said, you know, in a way, like, follow what you need to do. Like, this is, you know... I mean, obviously, it kind of caused some rift between the father because he didn't know, he thought that Spider-Man killed his brother, which was sad.
Which is going to be, like, a really sad and awful, like, thing to
do.
To have, like, to know about for, like, any future films, like, with this or anything.
Right.
Because it's just, like, oh, that's so, like, and Miles was so close with his uncle and things like that, and, like, his dad and his uncle weren't as close, but, like... And his dad already had this whole thing against Spider-Man, and then he sees him with
And uncle. Especially because it's like his dad was like, don't you're like your uncle's bad business, like kind of, I mean, like, yeah, he was working for like an evil corporation with Kingpin, like, we get it. But it was also the fact that it was kind of built on assumption.
Yeah.
But it was just like but it was also like really big point, turning point in the film, because I think, like, after that point, he got his powers, quote-unquote, I think.
Yes, that's when he started to be able to, like, control it a little bit
better than...
But he still wasn't able to fully, because then he wanted to go fight Kingpin, and they tied him up, and they were like,
nah.
You're not ready.
Which is, like, what you have...
That's what I cried, too!
Oh, I cried. That was my third time.
Oh, my goodness.
His dad
that's
was,
a
like,
really big tear, because when they were telling him he couldn't go, and he was trying so hard to, like, prove that he was able to, and, like, that he could control
his
powers.
Which is a big thing, like, when it comes to... race, you know, and especially race differentiation, which should be a thing, but it kind of is, unfortunately. It's kind of the fact that it's like, I can be just as good as you.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of women kind of have this kind of feeling, too,
absolutely.
Of being like, I'm just as good as you, why won't you let me have this chance?
Right, so it was like a race thing, it was also like an age thing,
right.
Where we're like, you're too young, you're too little, and all that stuff, and like, you can't do this yet. And then at the same time, when his dad comes outside to tell him that his uncle died, and, like, the dad cries outside. And
when the dad cried, I was like, this really shouldn't make me, like, tear up. But, like, it did.
But it did. I was like, I don't feel very emotionally connected to you, Mr. Miles Morales' dad. But...
Right, exactly.
I am crying.
I'm about to have a fucking aneurysm right now.
I am weeping.
The notion of also... I think we're seeing this a lot in children's films. Not as a bad thing, but as a more, like, gender thing, where the villain is a woman.
Yeah, so
which
it's cool.
I really
had
Doc
Ock be a woman.
I like when she was like, my name's like Elizabeth, like Ock. Like I said it, I think I said it like right before. I was like, oh my god, she's Doc Ock.
I know, and it happened at like all the same time. We were both like,
yeah.
And I also really liked in the film that the characters were so much closer, like, to like what they look like in the comics.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Green Goblin in the Tobey Maguire movie is like
it's like a dude
like,
with
he's
like
him
a,
in like the metal suit, which is like fine.
Which
and
is like
But, like, Green Goblin doesn't was, like, look like legit, that in the comics.
Like a, no, he looks like a legitimate goblin. He looks fucking frightening. He's a giant thing. Like,
Green Goblin in the actual movie. The first Tobey Maguire movie is also really scary, and I was terrified for a long time. But, sidebar. shut up. but it was cool to see them, how they'd be portrayed in the comics.
Right, exactly. Especially, like, awesome. Kingpin, because he's such a, like, crazy character that he has, like, he's huge. He has, like, this, like, bowling ball head thing. But I also loved that they, like, kind of stretched his storyline a bit too, as to why he became evil and why he hates Spider-Man. Right, because
you need a motive.
Of course, you can't. I mean, like, unless there's a few other, like, characters that are just like, I'm evil, deal with it.
Yeah.
And which, like, makes sense, like, for that character.
But it's
like,
nice to have a motive.
It's nicer and makes the story feel, like, more fleshed out.
Right, and it definitely, like, it makes it more complex, because, like, if you have, like, a bad character that's just bad and you have no reason why, it's like, okay, fine, like, just kill them.
Get it. Just,
but, like, when they're complex, then you're like, oh, but you know what, like, they're not, they got something going right.
Yeah, they're like, something,
like, they're trying, but they're just going about it in the wrong way.
Right.
But yeah.
What else? Do you want to talk about, there's, like, so much that goes on. I feel like, you know, at points you might feel over... I feel like you might feel overwhelmed, not with, like, the sensory, but with, like, the story.
There was a lot.
And I feel like that it was a good animation for teenagers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Kids would not be able to keep up very well.
This was not, like, really for kids. Like, we kind of thought this was more for, like, children. I feel like, at least, like, maybe I did.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm projecting, but...
No, it's definitely, like, a more, like, younger... based Spider-Man, like, something to kind of grab for the younger kids, because it is, like, when you make an animated film, like, people are automatically going to assume it's for kids.
Right.
Just
I mean, I thought, as, like, a 25-year-old, I thought this was a perfect age for this film. Because it's, like, you knew, because a lot of the references...
I feel like it'd be good for, like, middle high school, too.
True. I mean, but, I mean, in terms of trying to, like, get the references, like, if you want to get the full effect, like, this was, like,
more for... I mean, you have to be older to get most, like, full references.
Right, but if you want to get, like, the basic storyline, absolutely, middle school, like, 6th grade to, like, 15... I felt like 11 to 16 was a good age range, because you kind of are in the same path as Miles, I want to say.
Yeah, like, that's, like, his age. And, like, with the other Spider-Mans, they're definitely more, like, older-based. And Miles is younger than, like, any of the other Spider-Mans. And he's, like, going through more of those kinds of issues that, like, younger kiddos face and younger guys. So that was... It was good.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was complex, just in terms of how much information you were getting.
Right.
But if you were following along as a younger, like a baser, audience member, like you could still follow and get, like, the main understanding of it. But you're not going to... And that's with most films.
That's
like,
what,
you're going to get...
There's complexities to
you're
everything.
You're going
to
get, like, what you're able to get out of the film.
Yeah.
Like, if you're able to get, like, the higher, like, more, like, cognitively complex parts of the film, then you will. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, then you're not. But you'll still get something out of it, which was good. So that's good that it was, like,
it had a
able
balance.
To reach
younger
audiences.
I felt as though, like I said in the trailer talk, I mentioned that I feel as though there's going to be actual, like, you feel like actual danger, which I felt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you feel as though he's in trouble. You feel as though, oh, he's not going to reach. Like, I was nervous at some point.
Oh, my goodness. When he went into his uncle's house and the bad guy that was his uncle came in.
I jumped a fucking mile.
I was like, fucking mile. I, like, was making that prediction that the bad guy was his uncle. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to die.
We
looked at each other, like, the exact same time. We were like, no. And I was so nervous and scared.
It was crazy. And then number four, when I cried, time number four.
I love that Kelsey's actually numbered it out. It's great.
There was, so he gets, like, he gets his powers under control. Like, he's gonna, like, be able to, like, fight and whatever.
Yeah.
The, when he jumps off the building.
Oh, yeah. I was like, you're gonna die.
Oh, I was gonna say, and when it flipped,
Yes, so now I know exactly what
In the screenplay, it actually mentioned, he's like, he's not falling, he's rising. I fucking lost my shit. I was like, I'm done. This is it. This is such a beautiful, and it did look, and it was like, he was rising
into
the city.
We were like, Oscar winner.
We're like, this is what you came for.
Right. It was, Amazing. Yeah. Oh, you know another time when I cried?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should have just plotted, like,
the timeline
to pull it to wait to that by the times we cried.
I pulled out our notes. The people next to us have been like, what the fuck? Are they doing a podcast?
Yes. was when he snuck out of his school and went home.
Oh,
and his dad was like, you need to stay at school, blah, blah. And his mom was like, no. And he was like, can I just stay here for tonight? I'm scared. And I was like, okay.
And having the idea of, like, little, you know, like, especially, like, there comes with, you know, socioeconomic issues comes issues of, like, behavioral change. I don't want to be like, oh, it's only, like, because, you know, people of color, you know, especially, like, young boys of color have, like, behavioral issues because they don't, you know, talk about, certain things.
I'm following more what you're saying now.
The fact that he, like, specifically Miles is like, I'm scared, I want to be protected, was such a moment, I feel like, because of the fact that a lot of the times, you know, as a society, we look as, you know, people have to, like, especially, like, men, especially, like, black men, have to have, like, kind of, like, a shield, like,
a
tough shell, because they're exposed to so much at a young age, unfortunately,
right.
Or, you know, stereotypically, anyway.
Yeah, and, like, people of color are often not able to show, like, emotion, and some of that is very cultural and things like that, but still, like, it was really, like, Kelsey and I, like, talked a lot about it, how it felt really refreshing to see the amount of, like, challenge it was.
Yeah.
The big challenge that this led out to, like, the toxic and, like, fragile masculinity, like,
more so than
things that we that you see.
Yeah, I mean, at least in superhero films.
Especially, and just in general
films. And it's true.
Especially, like, in a film, like, that's, like, targeting at, like, a younger
generation
male audience and at people of color, like, showing that, like, Miles is able to have all these feelings and his father's able to have these feelings and his uncle.
Right.
And things like that is so great, and that's
going
to be so powerful for people to watch and, like,
children.
And, like,
a lot of children.
For them to, like, really just get that, like, subconsciously, like, that, oh, this is okay.
Yeah.
And, like, they don't need to, like, totally fully realize it at the moment, and that's fine. But, like, it'll be important for, like, the their family members that are bringing them to, like, you know what I mean, like, older male people of color,
like, if, like, their dad's gonna want to bring
them,
like,
a dad bringing them, or uncle,
these,
or whoever,
or this,
like, if they're bringing them to this film, and, like, them seeing that is gonna, it's gonna be just be very impactful, and that's, like, so
it's
great.
Gonna help, you know. Spider-Man is here to help, more ways than one. I thought the film, in its sense, was funnier. I mean, it's like, hey, we have a child dragging a dead hobo, you know.
Oh, yeah, that was so funny.
The snowman.
He's dragging a dead hobo through this graveyard.
it was just funny. It's so, I think the comedic timing was on. It was very well done.
It was definitely, like, most of the comedy was aimed towards a younger group, which was good.
But it's good, and it's refreshing to see. Because a lot of times in children's films, a lot of humor is directed towards adults.
Right.
It's like, oh, sex jokes.
So it's really, like, that in kids' movies, it's, like, a lot of physical, like, and slapstick humor for kids.
Right.
And then, like, the adult humor is, like,
more
the
like
words.
The subversive, like, talk.
No. Right, and that's, like, the verbal humor. And the kids don't get as much of the verbal humor, and I feel like this one had a lot more, like, towards kids.
It's, like,
which is good.
Whoever, I think, because Phil Lord wrote the Lego movie, you know, because he wrote a lot of, like, comedic jokes, like, verbal comedic jokes in that film.
Yeah.
A lot of sarcastic comedic jokes as well. I think he transferred over that to Spider-Man.
Yes.
And I think it was really, really well done to see that, you know, going on.
Yeah, and you could tell, like, because from the Lego movie, they did have a lot, like, it was very similar, actually.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of, like, kids really loved it for these reasons, and adults really loved it for these reasons that were, like, the more complex
reasons the ideologies,
for this.
Yeah.
And things like that, and that was very similar to how this played out. Wow. Kelsey, making connections!
What's up? I just...
It was wonderful.
It was really wonderful. I think it's out on digital and Blu-ray DVD right now on, I think on Facebook, on Sony, they released the first 9.5 minutes
oh, great.
Of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
please watch it if you can. Even if you just want to watch those 9 minutes over and over and over again, so be it.
go for it.
Those are kind of the end of my thoughts. Do you have any more thoughts to share? Or
just that the music was also amazing. Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, it was really good. Especially like the curated soundtrack by Chance the Rapper and, you know, some other rap artists. Curated soundtrack that they had, but also the actual instrumentation, I thought. And, like, because they drew on, like, Spider-Man, like, that whole, like, little, like,
The composer, Daniel Pemberton, was wonderful.
Yes.
But it was great that we had, like, the created soundtrack by a person of color.
Which was phenomenal.
And, like, that was just so much more authentic to what, like, would really be the sound of Miles.
Right. Because he listened to it, you know?
Because he's black.
Black.
Well, he's a biracial, but
he's
a person of color.
He's a person of color, and
like, these are like, and he lives in New York City. Like, this is what he listens
exactly.
to. He doesn't listen to.
He doesn't listen to classical music by John Williams. Or, you know,
he could.
He, you know what?
He could.
But he doesn't listen
to,
like,
Beth
or something.
But we know from canon that that's what he does listen to, and like things like that. So
exactly,
it was just great. That,
I really appreciated that, especially because he was like singing it. He was like trying to get the words. He's
remember
a kid.
when he asked, they were like, "What do you do to relax?" And he was like, and he started singing really badly, and they were like, "No, shut up! Whatever you're doing, stop."
Stop.
But it was really funny.
Yeah. So, you know, 10 out of 10 for me.
Yeah.
If I could rate it higher, I would.
You can rate it higher.
You know,
nobody's
50,
telling you.
50
can.
Out of 10.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Wow.
Went a little hard.
I was just going to say like a 12 out of 10, but Kelsey really went for it, which
is
fine.
Honestly, one of the best films, best animation films I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
No,
agree.
You know, especially with the stylistic choices and everything in between. You know, definitely the trailer did it justice.
Yes, I feel like the trailer really did a great job of like explaining enough of the plot, but not too much.
Right, exactly. Like, it was, it kind of, it held it back, and I appreciate
it. Absolutely.
Especially because I was like, oh, it could have, like, a lot of the things that they were kind of at the climax, but they were not, you know, at
right.
all.
Right.
When Kingpin did his whole thing with, like, the train, like, the multiple universes colliding.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this was not shown.
I
this
know.
This is not the climax of the movie.
But it was really, really good.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well.
So those were, like, most of our feelings on the film. We probably could have talked about it for a lot longer, but we're gonna spare you guys really long rants about the education system and systemic racism through New York City.
Yeah, we're gonna just, because you could probably hear it on other podcast episodes. Probably next week's. Who knows?
But who knows?
If
you have long feelings that rival how long my rants go about anything to do with this movie, you can feel free to email us at TwoManyTrailers@gmail.com.
Or if you want to just give us quick replies, you can
send us GIFs.
Send us GIFs of Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Spider-Pig. He just came out with
my
a little
favorite.
Mini short cartoon. You can probably find that
we'll
somewhere online.
That.
It is hysterical because he's eating a hot dog that's probably made out of humans as per. Because they were like, he's not eating pork.
So, not suitable for children, but it's
right.
fine.
No, it's
I'm kidding.
It's fine. Probably 7 years old and older to watch that little mini one. Anyways, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Too Many Trailers. That's TWO Many Trailers. I almost said .com. That's not right. We don't have a website. It's all social media based. Anyways.
Because the year is 2019.
Right. Exactly. Anything else?
I don't think so. So that kind of wraps up our Black History Month bonus episodes and focus.
I mean,
of course, we do not try to just talk about white people stuff because that
constantly.
Sucks. We really try to be diverse, but we really wanted to
focus
try and like pour as much energy as we could into really getting a lot done.
I'm very proud of us.
But
I mean, of course, we'll have more episodes with people of color throughout the year. This is not just the only one, of course.
Yes.
Same thing with Pride Month coming up. You
know,
in June, we'll be making sure to only
to really try and cover a lot
of, you know, part of the LGBTQI community films and documentaries that might pop up throughout the year or previous. We'll also have possibly bonus episodes. We'll try and do it the same way.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see when we get there.
We'll see how our schedules are turning out, but we'll make it our mission.
Yes. So, yeah, if you enjoyed this episode, you can listen to more. Feel free to rate us and subscribe on iTunes. We currently have 4.5 stars, which is really, really cool.
Thanks to those 7 reviewers. Guys.
We'll always take more.
Well, we love those 7 reviewers.
We like you a lot. Thanks so much.
Like, thank you.
Thank you a lot. But if you want, if you're interested in listening more, you can subscribe to us and follow us and listen along on iTunes. Stitcher. On iTunes, Overcast, and Anchor.
Yes.
And we'll be back with a full regular episode soon.
Next week.
Yep.
All right. Bye.
Bye.